The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Tonight, should we be embarrassed by the drunken debauchery captured yesterday at the Melbourne Cup, which was seen around the world? The Test 11 for the Wacker is named, more league signings, Tim Cahill left out of the Socceroos side, and John Daly opens up about the demons that have plagued his golf career and his life.
Welcome to the Rush Hour.
And an unbelievable media release, which will bring you in about 20 minutes, regarding Sebastian Vettel. I've never seen so many swear words on a piece of paper. Hello, Rabbi.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
How'd you go yesterday?
I finished up back in the winner of the cup, but I managed in the last hour of play to get rid of all the runs that I'd developed in the meantime. So the answer is I came out financially behind.
What? Hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on. You backed the winner.
Yeah, but Dan, I don't bet in just the cup. The cup's the hardest race in Australia to back the winner of. And then you get the occasional punter like you. You flum the first four following Friedman's favourites. That's fine. But, mate, I bet every day and I have several bets in races that I think I can back the winner in.
I understand, but I don't care about Eagle Farm Race 4 or Randwick Race 7.
Yeah, but Dan, there's sometimes...
Did you come out in front on the cup?
On the cup, I came out in front. But, I mean, to me, it's a non-event as far as a punter. Most professional punters will tell you the cup is ridiculous. You're mad having a bet on the cup.
Oh, don't be dirty. Don't be angry.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not dirty. I understand, mate. My mother-in-law comes up. We have a lovely day. We all have a bet on the cup. But, mate, there's a lot easier races when you're trying to have a professional bet. That's all I'm trying to say to you.
All right. We do the show.
But anyway, I'm told on the grapevine that the great Friedman has tipped the first four in six tips. That's incredible.
He put six. He said box them, and they came up. And the first four paid $24,000. We had so many people last night ring us that had a little piece of it because, if you box six of them for a dollar a unit, it would have cost people a fortune. Our audience doesn't have that kind of money, but they did the right thing. They flexied them up. We had $3,000 winners, $1,000 winners. We had a $10,000 winner. So it was a good day, Rabs. It was a good day.
No, it was a wonderful day, and I'm very, very happy for Kieran McAvoy, particularly Kieran McAvoy. I mean, the kid has had a magnificent spring carnival in Melbourne. He won the Geelong Cup on Kiwi. He won the Lexus on Oceanographer. He won on St. Francis of Assisi, I think, the Bendigo Cup. He's just had an amazing spring. And you can see in the papers today, he's got this wonderful family around him.
Sure, yeah.
So I'm really happy for Kieran McAvoy, who I'm told is a lovely person.
All right, we've got plenty to get through.
And the other thing I want to say is I have told you now for 5 years, Friedman is a wonderful person and is the best tipster in Australia. I can't do any more than that.
This is the Rush Hour.
That's a complete come down, isn't it?
This is. You could cut the sincerity with a knife. This is the Rush Hour for Sportsbet's racing form.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form with animated speed maps, runner comments, and expert tips courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
We do it for Sportsbet this week and their new racing form, animated speed maps, expert tips from Best Bets. Gamble responsibly. Rabs here with Dan on a Wednesday. And it gets bigger and bigger every year, Rabs. That is the post-Melbourne Cup analysis of the drunks that at Flemington.
Yeah.
Now, it used to be just that Martin King report on a current affair. That was sort of the annual event that he'd go and find, the drunks. I was going to use another word there. Now, through the world of clickbait internet companies... Now it's all around the world. Pictures of our people vomiting into bags, diving into garbage bins, doing all sorts of things to garbage bins. It is now, that's the worldwide event. Forget the horse race. It's all about how can we see people strewn across Flemington. It's become quite the embarrassment. Can I play this? A couple of things. These things happen live on the news, so it wasn't even as if the television stations were looking for these people, but this was on Channel 7 News.
Is there much of a wait?
Well, Mitch, there's definitely a wait here.
We just come here just ow!
Mitch, sorry about that.
So she just walked up and like a baby, grabbed the microphone. And then this on Channel 9 Brisbane.
You know, as ever, Cup Day, some good luck for some people, bad luck for others.
people when this girl walks up
from
behind.
I think you need to know somebody has lost $3.
Really?
Can you find that to the rightful owner?
I probably wouldn't be able to find them. Why but if you give it to the security guy.
No, it's important. How dare you?
Not at 9. He needs to know. That's not his wallet. He needs to find it. Yes. And the obligatory Daryl Braithwaite playing in the background. And then we've got all these pictures. My question to you, Rabs, has racing done this to itself? By promoting horse racing, not as the sport of kings, but as the sport where come along, dress up, look great, maybe pick up a member of the opposite sex, or the same sex if that's your thing, and get drunk. Haven't they promoted this for years?
Yeah, I think the honest answer to that is yes. And of course, that coincides with a massive television coverage of that particular sport. Once you go wall-to-wall coverage on television of any sport, then you've got to find a new way, I think, to attract people to go to the actual, to the venue. And I've got no doubt that much of the marketing has centered on the things that you've mentioned. I mean, let me put it in perspective. There might have been 97,000 people there, but they weren't all drunks. But it probably makes for good viewing, or it makes for more interesting viewing. If you can find a herd of drunks and put them all together, edit them together, and suddenly you've got what they call a good story.
It doesn't
do anything to excite me, let me tell you that. But they have marketed that way. I'm not saying it's unique to the VRC.
No, Sydney's done it. Every race club. What was it, about a decade, 15 years ago, they just uncovered the key and realised, whoa,
yeah,
if we
exactly.
target this to kids, to young 20-somethings,
yeah.
Now we've got, and we don't market it as see great horse racing, but hang on, treat us like a nightclub. Now, all of a sudden, we've got, this is what the racing industry has bred.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, suddenly there's a race meeting called the Girls' Day Out, and there's some connotations or interpretations of that people immediately attach to. I remember a couple of very good friends of mine that were students of racing. They love the thoroughbred, looking at the thoroughbred, working out the best horse to back in the race, mainly based on the looks of the thoroughbreds and all those sort of people. But then I started talking to them, say, two decades later, and they were saying they don't go anymore because their day has been spoiled basically by the new look marketing, which, as I said, comes hand in hand with, you can watch it and enjoy it much easier by staying at home and watching it on television.
I just read this little snippet from BuzzFeed, which is a big American website. And
yeah.
I have to edit on the run here. The Melbourne Cup is similar to the United States Kentucky Derby in that it's Australia's most prestigious horse race. Also like the Kentucky Derby, both of which follow the proud British tradition of getting equal parts dulled and drunk at horse races. I've changed the word there. It is a perfect event for young and old alike to don their finest outfits and guzzle copious amounts of alcohol. The entire state of Victoria even gets the day off from work, since Melbourne Cup Day has been decreed an official local holiday. There is a lot of booze. There is a lot of littering. There is a lot of smiling. There is, for whatever reason, a whole lot of falling, lying on the ground. All of these factors combined create opportunities for some marvellous photographs. So this is now, the Wednesday is, let's look at the drunk photos. That's now the Melbourne Cup tradition.
Yeah, I think that's a fair call, but, you know, there's a couple of television stations. In fact, I was watching one last night. They promoed what was coming up in the next half hour, and really it was 5 minutes of a bloke going out with a microphone and a camera and finding the drunkest people he could find. Now, that's probably great reporting and it might be great television, but as an ad going across the world, I don't know that it serves any great purpose, to be honest with you.
But you know what? He's been doing that, Martin King, for a decade, 15 years. The VRC are the ones that let him in. They know that he's going to do the drunk people's report, so they don't seem to care.
But they obviously, you know, don't get me wrong, it's a desperate form of marketing. Once upon a time, racing, it attracted people that were there to have a punt and, yeah, have a bit of a drink, all the rest of that, but to study the form and have a look at the beautiful thoroughbreds and all the rest of it. But then when television took over the sport, they then had to find a new way to get people to go to the track. And whose fault is that? If it's a fault, I don't know that it is a fault. It's the marketing people. It was the way they decided to go.
This is the Rush Hour on Triple M.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form. With animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips, courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Sports update shortly here on the Rush Hour. I've got to read you this, Rabs. This came through last night. This was... have we got the Sebastian Vettel audio? Yes, let's play this. So we've played this over the last couple of days. The Formula One driver, Sebastian Vettel, wasn't happy. We've had a bit of fun with this. Well, there's been a reaction. This is for those that have missed the show the last couple of days, this is his blow-up in the car.
No, it's not right. I don't stay calm because he's just blocking me into Ricciardo. Move, for f***ing sake. He's a that's what he is. I mean, am I the only one? Or are you not seeing what I'm seeing? He's just backing me off into Ricciardo. What the hell are you talking about? He cut the chicane!
Charlie said...
Yeah, you know what? Here's the message for Charlie. Off, honestly, off.
Road Rage 101. So, the F1 has reacted, Rabs. Should I read you the most colourful press release I've ever read in my life?
Yeah, go on. You might as well. You're going to anyway.
F1 update to sporting code regarding radio transmissions. Following a review of the radio broadcast from car number 5, S. Vettel, Scuderia Ferrari, at the Mexican Grand Prix, including calling the driver of car number 33, M. Verstappen, Red Bull Racing, I fear saying this now, a quit, and telling the race director to f*** off twice, the following financial penalties will apply for further bad/offensive language. The fines will depend on the severity of the word involved. Examples include, but are not limited to, the following. Category 1, $10,000 per use of words such as or I don't know that one, or Category 2, $5,000 per use of words such as bastard, head or asshole. Or Category 3, $2,500 per use of words such as tit, dickhead or knobhead or prick. End release.
Wow.
They are the new rules.
Well. Just as well Rodney Roode wasn't driving F1s.
They are the new Formula One codes after Sebastian Vettel. And the beep has never been used as often in such a short period of time as we just used there. This is the Rush Hour on Triple M.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form. With animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips, courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
Triple M, Rush Hour. Something big, I think, is happening today, Rabbi. Peter Ford, the media entertainment reporter, about an hour ago tweeted, "What a great 37-year run for Ken Sutcliffe at 9. True professional, respected by peers and loved by the public." Now, that normally means that's it, that he's, retiring. I don't think he'd be pushed. I'd say he'd be retiring. So if we get any confirmation on that, we'll certainly let you know. That's obviously a bigger deal in Sydney than Brisbane, where we go, because Ken has been reading the news for a hell of a long time on the Sydney news, but obviously well-known right across the country.
Yeah, that's right. I was watching Hot Seat with my wife just before coming on air, and Peter Overton, in the last break of Hot Seat, he... did an update on what the news headlines would comprise.
Mm.
And he said, and one of Channel 9's biggest stars steps down. So I thought to myself, well, who the bloody hell is that? And I'm hearing on the grapevine that it might be Ken.
Okay, well...
Now you're saying that Peter Ford has sort of eulogised that, thought.
He doesn't get him wrong, Peter, so or very rarely, if ever. So I assume that's it. We'll have a listen.
I think it's been on his mind. I mean, we might be totally wrong and out of order here. I think it's been on his mind. I mean, it's on the mind of many people when you've been in the industry 37 years, and I don't quite know how old he'd be, probably 68 or something like that. Anyway, time will tell, but it's going to break. It's going to break on Channel 9 in a short space of time.
Well, I think you just read the news now, or read the sport, so we'll get Tom to trawl and see if anything was mentioned.
There might have been something said earlier on in the news bulletin. I don't know.
All right, if we get any developments, we'll certainly pass it on.
Right now, this is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Live sports update.
Cricket, all the debate about bowler Joe Menny pipping out Jackson Bird out of the test team because of their batting abilities has been, well, it's been for little because Menny will be 12th man. In fact, he will fly back to play Sheffield Shield. Peter Siddle won the final spot. He joins Mitchell Starc and Josh Hazlewood to form the pace attack. That test match, of course, starts tomorrow in Perth. Tim Cahill has been dropped by the Socceroos. Well, actually, that's not right. He's being rested for the upcoming World Cup qualifier in Thailand. Hasn't stopped some suggesting he's been given the bullet. But this is the weakest opponent in the group. So coach Ange Postecoglou is using the 10-day window to put on a hardcore training camp with Cahill better served playing for Melbourne City. So Cahill will be back for the bigger games.
He's preserving him. That's what he's doing.
Smart. Why? Yeah. Well,
yeah. He's preserving him. That's what he's doing.
Again, they should win whether he's there or not. Baseball's World Series is going to a seventh game. The Chicago Cubs blasted the Cleveland Indians 9-3 to level the series at three games each. I think it was 9-3. That's when I left it, and it was just about over. The decider is tomorrow, our time, to get in. Now, strangely, not as expensive as it was to get into the Chicago games. Now, you would think the game's in Cleveland, but game seven, you would think it would be Super Bowl prices, but a couple of grand, just a measly couple of grand, would get you standing room only in the Cleveland stadium there.
So it's the best of seven. I mean, they don't have a tennis type advantage set.
Can you imagine? So you had to win by two.
Yeah, I've always thought the tennis people got it right, and then they went to the tie break, and then they made the fifth set an advantage set, and I thought, yeah, that's pretty good. That's fair, but they have seven matches to decide the result, but three all, there's a sudden death.
That's it. Tomorrow is the tiebreaker, to use your tennis analogy. And some rugby league signing news. I thought we had reported this a couple of weeks ago, but it's now official. Kevin Proctor has joined the Titans for 4 years.
Great buy. Just a great buy for the Titans.
And Kirill Somavaa, the former Rabbitoh, who's been in trouble, is now off to the Parramatta Reels. He's one of four signings. No big names amongst them, but there we go. He'll join the Eels.
They've signed some interesting people, Dan. Vava from Manly. I think he's very good, or he can be very good.
Yeah.
And Brown from South, again. Yes. I mean, he might be mad as hell, but my God, he's hard to stop.
He was so good in the last, what, 4 or 6 weeks. I reckon South have regretted letting him go, because remember he was a dirty, that's a harsh word, but he was a troublesome player. But the way
he's mad as hell. He's Peter Finch. He's absolutely. But I love watching him play, and you know what? He was inspirational to the others in the South Sydney pack. I mean, they were like lambs to the slaughter at one stage in the year, but not Brown. You know, he was good.
That is a sports update. News update shortly with Sash and the John Daly documentary, which dropped today. Some startling revelations. We'll have that shortly.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form. With animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips, courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
This is the Rush Hour, getting you through a Wednesday night. Rab's here with Dan.
Go on. Yeah.
Ken Sutcliffe has announced his retirement. We'll play that for you shortly, but that is official.
Wow.
That's come out of nowhere.
It has. It's taken me by surprise, really. Funny thing, are you the... He said to me about 4 weeks ago, he said, if you leave, can I come with you? And I just thought he was sort of playing with words from a song.
Right.
Yeah, if you leave, can I come with you? Well, are they the words of a song?
I think they
are.
But you'd walk off into the sunset together.
Well, we walked into the sunset together. You mightn't believe this, but I started my radio career at 2LF at Young, and when I got asked to come to Sydney to 2GB with Ken Howard and John Tapp and Garth Carey, believe it or not, the young fellow from Mudgee got the job that I was vacating, and his name was Ken Sutcliffe. So I sort of thought I was moving ahead, which I did, obviously, and he came on board at 2LF Young and filled the space that I'd vacated. So it is a touch ironic, really.
But it's a Wednesday night. You know, it's a nondescript night, really. And there's been no build-up.
Hey, Dan.
Yes.
Dan.
Yes.
Origin is on Wednesday night, so it's not a nondescript night.
It's a nondescript night tonight.
It might be from a sporting point of view, but let me tell you, I think he reads at weekends now, but he's chosen to go midweek with the announcement.
Yeah. Well, the cricket's on
tomorrow. I'll be honest with you. I'm very, very surprised, really.
I wonder, because the cricket starts tomorrow on 9, so that might have that might have sort of the rosters might be turned upside down. I don't know, but there we go. So obviously a massive legend in Sydney, really, and, you know, across the rugby league landscape with Brisbane as well, stuff.
Yeah, just referring to Brisbane, I mean, they are very familiar with how long Ken has been around. I mean, he's always been a part. And Channel 9, way back with Mike Gibson, they always kicked off anything big, whether it was Wimbledon, whether it was the Masters out of Augusta, whether it was Origin, it didn't matter. They always sent their sports head to present. Not necessarily do expert commentary, but always he was there to present. And as a result of that, when you saw that head,
you knew it was big.
Yeah, and that happened with Gibbo, and it's happened with Ken. So, you know, it might sound a bit rude that we're talking about a Sydney personality, but let me tell you, during that period of Wide World of Sports, and he hosted that on a national level, we wouldn't have to introduce Ken Sutcliffe to Brisbane, let me tell you.
Well, this just went to air on Channel 9 News Sydney.
Before I go, another sports event, Pete, I beg your indulgence for a few seconds. After 50 years of broadcasting and 37 years at the Nine Network, I have decided to retire. Now, I've been thinking about it for some time and believe this is the perfect moment to move on from a job I've loved so much. I can't wait to spend more time with my grandchildren, play a bit of sport rather than watch it, and travel with my wife, Anne. Yeah, Pete, done and dusted. 20 seconds.
Well, Kenny, a mighty fine half century if there ever was one. You are. It's an emotional time for all of us, and you've been such a great friend and mentor and carer for us all here at Nine, and we are going to miss you so much. We love you. I'll miss you sitting there and me sitting here next to you, but Anne and your good self can go and explore the world, and there's always a spot for you here.
I'll be back from time to time.
I hope so. And you'll be back till the end of this, end of December.
Yeah.
Love you.
Good on you. Thank you. That's good.
He'll get a proper goodbye, and they can do a tribute, and that he can be. I thought tonight might have been his last night, so that's the way it should be done. And I can speak. I think I know people that work there. Rabs, they have nothing but respect for both Peter Overton and Ken Sutcliffe and admiration. So they, when Peter says he's much loved, I don't think he's not telling any fibs there.
No, he's not, Dan. And the other thing that I might add, and it might help somebody along the way. That fellow, he's on the news between 6 and 7, and I think he makes a couple of appearances reading the sports news. Mm. But, mate, he's in there like at 9 o'clock, and I'm only guessing, but he would have been there for about 9 hours just unravelling what has to be covered and what doesn't have to be covered. I would find that to be totally boring, to be honest with you. And I did it for a very short space of time at Channel 10. But he is so into television, he would spend 8 or 9 hours at Channel 9 getting ready for a delivery that would only run, say, 5 minutes in total through the Channel 9 evening news. So he was totally committed to his job. And a lovely person, as you know.
All right, this is the Rush Hour here on Triple M.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form. With animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips, courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly. Sports update.
We've covered most of it, but Man City is going revenge over Barcelona, winning their Champions League clash overnight 3-1. Arsenal winners as well. That's a very brief sports update. Someone just sent in a tweet, who's replacing Ken Sutcliffe? Well, it's Cam Williams. Channel 9 just put out a release, and Cameron Williams will be reading the Nine News in Sydney. All right, let's move on. This is the Rush Hour on Triple M. Now we'll get to the John Daly documentary. We'll do it after this song.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form. With animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips, courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.
It is the Rush Hour, getting you home on a Wednesday, doing a little bit of overtime. Let me get to this now, Rabs. It's aired today. I think we've talked about the John Daly story before. I think we might have played
talked about it before. How many times can we resurrect the John Daly story?
What are you talking? We played an interview once about 3 years ago.
I seemingly, honestly, I don't know how long I've been working for, but we seemingly have been talking about John Daly and his alcoholism and his golfing ability off and on for something like more than a decade.
Well, his much publicised documentary aired today on ESPN in the States. Would you like to hear some of it?
It's like Rocky. Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 5, and introducing Balboa. Oh, okay, let me have it.
Okay, where are we going?
My life was a full go. Take the chances, be aggressive. I didn't know any better. That's the way I was raised. That's the way I was brought up. That's the way I live life. You don't change your life because somebody tells you to change your life. You have to do it on your own. And I'm a late bloomer. That's what I can say. Coach Loy says, you're not playing on this team until you lose a lot of weight. So I lost about 67 pounds in like 2.5 months. And it was on Jack Daniels and popcorn, dry popcorn. And I will say this, and he may not agree with me, the reason I started smoking cigarettes was because of Loy. I was 19, he says, here, just smoke a cigarette. It'll curb your appetite. And I've been smoking for 30 years now. When I got successful, thought I had the world by the balls, and I wasn't hitting it so hard on the golf course anymore. Earlier in my career, drinking, having fun, gambling, wasting time. I wasn't taught success. I wasn't taught how to be successful. I can honestly say that I've never drank in a golf tournament, on a PGA Tour event, never. Now, I've been hungover. I might have been still drunk and played from the night before, getting in at 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning. I do admit that. The game of golf, if you're in the hunt, you've got adrenaline going. But you got $140,000 to $300,000, $400,000 on the table, on a blackjack table, you're going to have adrenaline. And I think that's what I loved more than anything.
He gambled for days at a time. The amount of money he would gamble was outrageous. Outrageous.
And I watched him put $100,000 in a slot machine. I go, what are you doing? You know, then he says, you got any money on you?
I lost about 95 to 98 million, and I won about 40, 45 million. So we figured up it's about 53, 55, whatever million dollars that I'd lost. That's when you can play blackjack. You can play all seven hands. Man, because you could win some big hands.
Oh, my goodness.
Is it true what you yelled to Fuzzy when the cops came? Grab one of their guns and shoot me in the head?
That's what Fuzzy told me, I said.
I'm in my bed, and my phone rang, and it's John Daly. And I hear the gunning of an engine. Run! He said, I'm on a mountaintop. I said, John, what are you talking about? He says, there'll be no more John Daly tomorrow. I started to cry. And I said, you can't do this. The world ain't done with John Daly. You can't do this. And finally I said, John, I never asked you to do anything. Will you do me a favor? He said, what is that?
Golly.
I said, drive, go home. Go home. So he went home.
Yeah.
Jeez. That's heavy stuff, isn't it?
And there's this, because we couldn't get everything in, there was the time his father came home drunk and pointed a gun at his head and threatened to shoot. So you get a little taste of why he's messed up.
He pointed a gun at John's head?
I think John was a teenager. He was an abusive father, abused the mum, abused the sister, abused John.
Oh, dear, you've made me feel bad. Now, here I am joking about Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that... There's room for like Rocky 7, isn't there?
So that's the John Daly story.
It just
story.
Keeps getting, it gets hotter. The Daly story. I mean, this is an incredible sports creature. I don't know how he got to the heights that he got in golf. They are incredible stories. I mean, he's talking punting like Kerry Packer, isn't he?
Yeah, 55 million lost.
Yeah, he's talking about playing seven cards I guess, on
seven
a blackjack
boxes.
Table.
Yeah,
it's seven boxes. He's playing on his own, basically. I suppose he can't blame the bloke next door to him for taking a card when he shouldn't have.
Unless he's schizophrenic.
Yeah, I'll never forget one night. How long have I got? No time at all?
No. Ugly Phil's not on tonight, so we don't have to time
I'll
out.
Never forget one night. There were three of us left at the table. P. Vorton, P. Sterling and R. Warren. And Vorton was in one of his very, very cranky moods. And Sterling and I weren't real good at blackjack. And Sterling took a card and he shouldn't have taken a card. And Vorton abused Sterling at the top of his voice. So much so that security came on board. About 10 minutes later, Warren did the same. And Vorton attacked him. So eventually Sterling and Warren sort of were diminished. Now the red fellow, the blood nut, is there on his own.
Oh, the poor dealer.
And he'd gotten rid of six other players.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, they range in various sizes, various denominations. They came from different races. And the last two, pardon me, to leave the table, not that they wanted to leave, but by request from P. Vorton, the last two omitted or exited were P. Sterling and R. Warren.
I'm with him. There's nothing worse than a person who doesn't play blackjack ruining your hand.
No, you're right. You're right. But I didn't know the calamity that I was causing, you know. I don't think Sterling did either.
We got to go.
I know. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I'll see you Saturday.
The Triple M Rush Hour podcast brought to you by Sportsbet's new racing form. With animated speed maps, runner comments and expert tips, courtesy of Best Bets. Gamble responsibly.